Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Frosted Leaf is Denver's most innovative dispensary.
What I like about Frosted Leaf would probably be their knowledgeable bud tenders, their online kiosk, their online ordering, and then just pick up at the store. And then they're always getting new genetics as well, so that's always cool.
Like Edgar mentioned, Frosted Leaf gives you no lines, no wait, and a self-paced direct shopping experience that allows a fast yet comfortable transaction without the awkwardness of a waiting room. Not only does Frosted Leaf have the hottest strains, but they also offer a rewards program that will help towards your purchases.
I would recommend Frosted Leaf to a friend, and I would tell them to look forward to different strains and to knowledgeable help.
Check out Frosted Leaf's 3 Denver locations and download their app today.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the curry. Mile High, the best part of the weekend. Hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend. Having a good time when the orange and blue WIN. Tuning in every day with the good folks down at BSN.
Welcome in to the BSN Broncos podcast presented by Elixinol. And don't take our word on Elixinol. Take former Broncos quarterback Jake Plummer's word on it. Plummer is a huge fan of Elixinol's hemp balm, a topical pain reliever that is just one of Elixinol's many great non-THC products. What's more, 5% of your purchase will go to a nonprofit of your choice when you visit Elixinol.com to get yours today. All right, Zach. Well, on the NFL calendar, today is a day that pops up. It's a day that has something written on it. And that is that today begins the process and the period in which teams can use the franchise tag. From a Broncos standpoint, at least from the players currently on the team, this is pretty insignificant.
Yeah, boring. Very boring, insignificant. Like you said, and John Elway isn't shy to using these tags in the past. But Ryan, you've got to have a player that's worth this type of cash. I mean, we're talking huge amounts of money. There's 3 different tags that can be put on players beginning today until, I believe, March 5th is the deadline to place that tag. There's the exclusive franchise tag, which locks a player up. He can't negotiate with other teams. He's yours for that 1 year on that deal, which is the average of the top 5 salaries at that position, or 120% of what that player made the year before, whichever one's greater. So this is very much a player-friendly deal. And there's also the non-exclusive franchise tag, which typically when people talk about the franchise tag, they're actually referring to the non-exclusive one, because these players can negotiate with other teams, but if another team signs them, the team that put the franchise tag on them gets 2 first-round picks back. So that typically never happens. And then there's also the transition tag, which instead of the average of the top 5 salaries at that position, it's the average of the top 10. So the price is a little lower, and no compensation is given if that player signs somewhere else. So franchise tag prices, I mean, we're looking at Matt Paradis being $15 million, Jared Valdir being $15 million. He was expensive last year at $9 million. Bradley Roby, $16 million, and Shaq Barrett and Shane Ray would each be $16 million. And those are the ones that you would consider the most out of anyone in this list.
None of those are happening. None of them are will even really be considered because every one of those players would be vastly overpaid. The only one I could see really making a case for, and it's not a good case at all, would be Bradley Roby. And it would be a case in which Vic Fangio says, hey, look, you know, I need corner depth. And you guys have one here right now who can play. He's not perfect, but he can play. And I'm going to bring in Bryce Callahan, or actually that would probably take that off the table. I want to draft Greedy Williams at 10. You give me Chris Harris Jr., Greedy Williams, or Bradley Roby, I can give you the no-fly zone.
Right.
Then you think about it. But that's if it's like $13 million or $12 million. $15, $16 million, that's too much for a guy who wasn't good this last year and honestly had some concerns about his commitment. And that, above all, is probably what drives Bradley Roby out of this. I mean, I'm sorry, dude. You just can't get burned all day and then not show up to practice the next day. It just you can't do that and then make $15 million. It just doesn't work that way. So I think all of these are off the table. Roby's the only one I would consider, but if you were gonna go with that plan, wouldn't you just offer Roby a 3-year, $9 million a year contract, see if he takes it?
Exactly. And that's my question to you is not what would you offer, what you think is fair for him. How much is he gonna get per year, do you think, on the open market?
I think in the $7 to $10 million range and probably on the upper end of that.
So let's say he signs 4 years, $38 million, about $9.5 million a year. Would you do that if you're the Broncos?
It depends. Can you get Bryce Callahan? Because if you can get Bryce Callahan, then just pay him clean slate for both parties. I don't think it's a very clean slate right now with Bradley Roby and the Broncos. They were extremely disappointed with his performance last year. So if you can get him, if you can get Bryce Callahan, then no. Just wave bye to Bradley Roby. Spend your cornerback money somewhere else. If you still want to go get Greedy Williams and, you know, recreate the no-fly zone, then that's your prerogative. But if you can't get Bryce Callahan, and I'm sure, you know, you can have an idea of whether or not you're going to get him. You know, maybe on his way out the door, Bryce said, you know, take me with you. And Vic Fangio's like, I'll bring you. Or maybe Bryce Callahan says, like, I'm a Bear for life. I don't want to leave. You should have an idea if you're a front office executive for the Denver Broncos. So if you can't get him, then you obviously there's a couple other places you could go. But maybe you do just think, okay, well, maybe we can get Bradley Roby a little bit cheaper. You know, the hometown discount thing is overplayed. But there is something to be said, not having to move your house, not having to uproot yourself. You know, all that stuff, it might not get you, you know, the ridiculous discount you got on Derek Wolfe and Chris Harris, but maybe you get $1 million a year off.
Right. You very well could. And to me, I think Bradley Roby may be gone pretty early in the free agency process. So I think you have to decide very early what your plan is. And Ryan, I just thought of Chris Harris last year. How Chris is brutally honest, which is great for us. And really, you need a few guys on your team like that. And he was never sold on Bradley Roby last year. He was very hard on him to start, you know, not, making it known that it wasn't going to be an easy transition from Roby to go to from the slot to the outside and be that number two corner. And throughout the year, Chris vented his doubts with us on air, off air, about Roby's performance. And that, to me, says start fresh. Roby can play. He can. He showed it. For what, 3 or 4 years, he was a great third cornerback. When asked to be the two, he wasn't. And that's why you can't pay him $16 million for a year. And that's why you can't lock him up for 4 years, even at an $8.5 million price tag. At least I wouldn't be comfortable. I think you set your sights on Bryce Callahan from the get-go. You make him a top priority free agent for you. You know, you can make the call to CJ Mosley, but I don't know if that'll be the route. Make Bryce Callahan your second call. Have it be Vic Fangio's first call on March 11th when that negotiating period opens, and make him be the guy. Because here's the other thing, though. On the flip side, you can't go from Chris Harris, Aqib Talib, and Bradley Roby, and then in 12 months, I guess less than 12 months, go to just Chris Harris, can you?
No.
I mean, that is scary.
I mean, you got to help Vic, you know, like a defensive coordinator is great, but a coach is only as good as his players. And so you can't leave him hanging out here with one corner and a bunch of young guys who struggled mightily. You know, a guy in Brandon Langley who can't find the field and a guy in Isaac Yiadom who can't find the ball. Yep. So you got to help him out. And if it's just Bryce Callahan, then okay, that's a start. And maybe you go get a corner two in the draft. Maybe you say Isaac Yiadom is good enough to be a three and he becomes your number three. We'll see. But you got to do something for him. And if that's keep Bradley Roby around, if that's your best option, you kind of have to do that too. Now, I don't even know if Bradley Roby wants to stay around. He might want a new clean slate somewhere. I think Chris Harris Jr. is really hard on him, and I don't know if he likes it very much. You got to give Chris someone he respects. And I'll say this. I don't think we got to get Chris on the podcast before the season this year to just make like some predictions. Maybe it's not Broncos related. Maybe it's someone else. I feel like Chris has never been wrong about football.
Oh yeah. That's a good point. No.
He pretty much told us without telling us that Bradley Roby was going to suck last year.
Yeah, he did. He did. So we need to get him on. Tell us who's going to, you know, win the Super Bowl, be the MLB champion, and then we'll put our money there.
I think Chris has a innate understanding of the game. And when we should have, you know, taken it to heart a little more when he said it's going to be a huge transition for him. He never said, like, Bradley can play. I'm excited to play across from Bradley. We'll miss Aqib, but Bradley has it locked down. No, he was like, we're going to miss Aqib. Bradley has a huge transition ahead of him, and, you know, it's going to be a big thing for him. Then when asked if Bradley Roby is going to bounce back from getting torched by Sam Darnold, he was like, I don't know. How bad does he want to bounce back? I mean, just red flags all over the place. And at that point, we had picked up on it because he wasn't playing well. But Chris knew this was going to happen. He probably could have told the Broncos front office it was going to happen. And so I want to know who he wants. Who do you want playing across from you? Whoever that is, sign him up.
I know your answer to this. And the question is, if you're John Elway, do you consult with any of your players on not an open end, like, hey, what should we do this offseason? But do you go and reach out to Vaughn and say, how valuable is Shaq? Do you reach out to Chris and say, how valuable is Bradley Roby? Or do you just get a sense of that, you know, being in the facility for 300 days a year?
I think John believes what he believes.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs extra advice from anyone.
Yeah.
I personally would. I'd be all over it.
That's what I thought.
Because this is an obvious answer. Why would you ever pass up on information that's available to you?
And yes, John does know. He has a fantastic sense of what's going on.
He watches pretty much every practice.
Yeah. But Chris is in every single room with Bradley Roby, and that's why I would do it to the guys you really trust. You obviously really trust Chris Harris. Chris Harris was the first guy the Broncos have just given money to, or that John Elway's just given money to when he did that with the incentives last year. So with a guy like Chris, with a guy like Vaughn, with a guy like Matt Paradis before this year, there's a few guys that you can trust and that do know more than you. I would do that. I don't think John Elway does.
I don't either. Remember the other day when we were talking about baseball owners colluding? That definitely didn't happen here. unless the Padres went rogue because they signed Machado to a 10-year, $300 million, which is exactly what the owners were trying to avoid.
I thought there was going to be a little discount. I thought it was going to be 10 years, $275 million.
See, I thought it was going to be like 8 years, something in that range.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now there's your price for Nolan Arenado. Sorry, that just popped up on the screen, so now I'm interested.
Oh, could you imagine? What if a 10-year deal? Could you imagine that in football?
No football team would ever consider it.
Would any player be worth it? You have to wait till their rookie contract is done, so they're 25, 26.
Patrick Mahomes.
Quarterback, yep. He would be. Yeah. Would Vaughn?
No.
Yeah.
God, no. It's a quarterback. Quarterback is the position that can play the longest other than kicker, and it's the most important position.
Dang, that would actually make sense for a quarterback because in baseball, the first 4 years, you hope they're great. You hope they're Hall of Fame. The next 3 years, You hope they're playing. And the last 3 years, you know they're going to retire and not be playing in that 10-year deal. Quarterback at 25, you could get prime from 25 to 35.
Yeah, and then there's probably a chance you want to sign him to another deal at the end of that. And you would get a discount on, like, because let's say you normally do a 4-year deal, right?
Yeah.
The second 4 years that you signed on that 10-year deal would be a discount from what you would have had to pay them
right
up front, you know?
That's true.
I mean, think of it this way. If the Patriots would have signed Tom Brady at 31 to a 10-year deal, everyone would have said they were idiots.
Yep.
And right now, they'd probably be paying him like $14 million a season or something.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That needs to be in the CBA.
I mean, honestly, if you're the Chiefs, you should sign him to a 15-year deal today.
Man, what would let's do 10 because it's a little easier on the mental side. What would you sign Patrick Mahomes to?
Same deal, 10 years, $300 million.
I don't think he'd accept it. Because
wise not to.
What did Aaron just go for, 33 or 32?
Okay, so you give him 10 years, 350.
I think you do. Wow. And just think about that. In, 5 years, $35 million will probably be like what $20 million is now for a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, eventually there has to be a ceiling, right? It has to stop at some point.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You just guarantee that nothing funky happens, you know? Right. What if it comes out, you know, a couple years down the road, like Patrick Mahomes isn't seeing eye to eye with the owners, or, you know, you can't take that risk. You have the franchise quarterback that you've been longing for ever. If I'm them, I just back up the Brinks trucks, say, here you go. But that also cuts off your little window that we always talk about of the rookie contract quarterback. But that's only one more year for them. So I mean, what if Tom Brady retires and the Patriots want to sign Patrick Mahomes? And he's like, wow, I could go to the franchise that always goes to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Maybe he's not that type of guy. He doesn't seem like it. But you don't want to give him a chance to have those thoughts.
No, you don't. You want to lock him up and make sure he doesn't leave. Ryan, I'm looking at some of these. Speaking of insane numbers, would you rather pay Jeff Hireman, tag him, for $11 million, or let's just say Colby Wadman was an unrestricted free agent, pay him, the punter, $5.1 million.
Neither.
Those are insane numbers. I mean, I guess
punter is ruining this for everyone?
I have, because it's just like offensive line, it's stupid punters / kickers, which still, I mean, Brandon McManus is getting, I think, $3 million this year, and he's one of the highest paid, so there must be just like three or four guys that are getting paid a ridiculous amount as kickers.
That's crazy. I mean, kicker kind of makes sense. You got to have a kicker. We see what happened, you know, to the Bears.
Yeah.
By not having a kicker they trusted. But you have to feel like you could just, you know, recycle, right? And like trust your process to get a new one. There's a lot of guys kicking field goals out there. It's not like quarterback where there is a fixed amount. Like there's pretty much always only 10 great quarterbacks available.
Yeah.
I feel like there's at least 25 great kickers out there.
I would think so. I would certainly think so. Looking at wide receiver, the number for wide receivers is expected to be over 17 million. Emmanuel's at 11. Does that just seem like, okay, maybe it's actually a deal?
That's probably how the Broncos are looking at it. I mean, especially because the wide receiver market isn't that enticing this year. You know, like, guys like Terrence Williams who's the dude, the bust from the Bears, Kevin White. Like, those are the guys who are going to be out there that teams are going to be taking flyers on.
Is he going to be a free agent?
Yeah.
Wow. What was he, like the 8th overall pick?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Same, I think actually higher. I think it was like 4th.
Oh my gosh.
Never did a thing for them.
I think he got hurt his rookie year and then, yeah, never did anything.
Like hurt in training camp.
As a wide, if you're picking a wide receiver in the top 10, he better be Calvin Johnson. He better be the absolute truth, zero break potential.
Yeah. I mean, think of it this way. the same draft class as Shane Ray, and people think Shane Ray's a bust.
Mm,
and he contributed to a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And he's about to go get paid now, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he'll get a bag. He'll get some change. But yeah, the franchise tag really, it's there for a reason. It's there for franchise players that you don't want to let go. It's been kind of abused throughout the years on certain positions, but that's where you are with, you know, with that. If this guy doesn't change your franchise, having him or not having him, then you shouldn't use it because it's way too expensive.
Last thing on looking at these numbers, running backs, 11, pretty much $12 million. How good does Philip Lindsay look right now, Ryan?
Solid, you know, 450.
You've got to be. I mean, Saquon Barkley looks like a great deal right now, and you broke it down per like yard last year or something. And wasn't Saquon over 10 times the value, or Philip Lindsay was 10 times less than Saquon?
Think about it. Saquon's getting paid 10 times more than Phil.
Yeah, and Saquon's
and their
making
numbers were comparable.
And Saquon's making half of what the top five running backs are making. So just try to wrap your mind around that.
Yeah, I wonder who the highest paid running back in the league was last year.
Got to be Todd Gurley.
Oh, right, right, right.
What was that? Was that like,
I think it was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
So Phil's getting three times the value.
Yeah. And then I guess last thing here, safeties are the cheapest defensive position, averaging $12 million for the top five.
Still too much. Way too much.
It is. It is for, yeah, for a position that if you have a stud one, you can still be weaker on the defense. All right, Ryan, speaking of all of this, the Broncos have a few newsworthy things today. Billy Turner's agent has been talking with the Broncos. Ryan, I think you and I said this yesterday or last Thursday. We thought Billy Turner was going to be a priority for the Broncos because of his versatility, because of how much John Elway likes him, and how he's played as of recently, and it appears that is the case. It seems like they will want to sign him before he can even hit free agency.
This was predictable, right? We said it yesterday on the podcast. This is, I mean, we said, who are the Broncos' priority free agents on the team? It's Billy Turner and Jeff Heirman. Those are the two guys they really want to get signed.
Yep.
And you could say that's crazy. You could also say this is a team that's won 11 games over the last 2 years. No one's that valuable on it except for the main core stars. So that's one that I think will get done. Billy Turner probably could go get some money on the open market. I mean, heck, Tyson Brilo just got re-signed, and I don't know what the figures are, but the fact that they just signed him shows you that offensive line depth is a valuable thing in the NFL. And Tyson Brilo, to his credit, can pretty much play four of the five positions on the line if you need him to. So you get a guy like that. That's why they traded for him in the first place. Now they want to keep him. He's started seven games as a Bronco over the last 2 years. In Atlanta, he started six. So he's not a big piece for them, despite what some people in this market might want you to believe. But he is depth, and he's versatile. And that is worth something in the NFL today. It's actually worth a lot. There just aren't enough offensive linemen out there who are good. So Billy Turner actually could probably go get paid on the open market. Maybe he feels like he has a real chance to start here in Denver, and that's why he's going
to
stay.
Yeah, and I believe he will have a good chance to start probably at guard. But, I mean, that tackle position could be wide open. We know John Elway loves his potential, and you mentioned it, versatile. He can play four positions along the offensive line, and really, I think even last year he was playing guard, started at guard, and then finished the game playing at right tackle after one of Jared Valdir's injuries. So last year he was on a one-year, $2 million contract. Maybe you're looking at a three-year, $9 million contract for him. Maybe he gets even more than that, because if he believes he can start, and here's what I think the Broncos will avoid, is they will avoid trying to fill that hole at right tackle in free agency for a fourth year in a row through a third. I mean, this would be if they got, would this be the fifth year with a different right tackle if Jared Valdir isn't the guy? Because they had, who was it?
Like Ryan Harris slash Tyler Palumbus slash, what's his name? Schofield.
Yeah, so they're alone. That's 2015. 2016, wasn't that Donald Stevenson? Or no, 2016 was...
Yeah, Donald Stevenson.
And then 2017 was Menelik Watson.
Uh-huh.
And then 2018 was Valdir. Holy cow. So it would be even more than five in 5 years. But going into week one, it would be a different right tackle for the past 5 years. How wild is that? So I think the Broncos will avoid doing that, whether that's Jared Valdir on a one-year contract, whether that's signing Billy Turner, which I believe they will, and making him the right tackle. You need continuity at some point, so I guess it makes sense.
I don't know. I mean, continuity for continuity's sake is not exactly real continuity.
Yeah.
Continuity is when you have something you can trust and you can count on. Now, again, Jared Valdir played better than any of those other guys we named.
That's true.
Except for maybe Columbus and Harris were both two pretty good vets that knew what they were doing over there.
Yeah.
Just like Jared Valdir. Same, pretty much same exact thing.
Right.
But man, I mean, can you get a guy in the second round that you can put in there and feel good about for the next 5 years?
I would be so okay with that, because then there's a plan, and then you at least think you're not going to have to replace him next year or the year after. All right, Ryan, other news along the offensive line. The Broncos are going to meet with Matt Paradis' agent at the Combine next week. What are they going to find out?
They're going to find out that he wants more money than they're willing to pay.
Yeah. Yep.
I think they're going to want to stay in single digit millions.
The Broncos?
Yep. I think they're going to say, "Hey, we'll give you $9 million a season. Mm-hmm. We will give you, you know, 30 guaranteed over 4 years. You know, we'll guarantee the contract because we know Matt is a reliable player who we can count on. We'll guarantee most of the contract, but we can't go that high. We just, you know, we have a lot of holes to fill. We can't pay him $12 million." And I think they're going to say, "Cool, thanks, but no thanks."
And the reason for that is, what was he, a fifth-round draft pick? So he was getting paid chump change in NFL terms, of course. And then last year, he got his big, quote-unquote, payday in NFL terms, getting $2.9 million on the RFA tag, the second-round tender they put on. That's nothing to what he's about to get. Like you said, he could get guaranteed $20, $30 million, and he wants, what, $13 million?
Said he wanted to match Ryan Jensen, which is 11.25 a year, I believe.
So you're asking to take him for him to take like an 18% pay cut? That's significant.
Yeah, I think Matt Paradis loves Colorado. I think he loves the Broncos, but he's also a very smart person. And I don't mean that as any insult to anyone else, but I think he sits there and says, "This is my only chance."
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be dumb to give up 18%. It's only 4 years of my life, even if I end up in some place I don't like. You know, if it's, maybe you end up in some place you really like. Maybe he ends up in, I don't know, I'm just thinking of random teams who need offensive line help. Minnesota, you know, and they make a run at a Super Bowl. Or maybe he ends up in Green Bay, where he can play with Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's some really cool places where he could land. There's some bad play. Maybe he ends up in Tampa Bay and they suck forever. Oh, well, Tampa Bay is who paid Ryan Jensen. But, you know, wherever it may be, I think he's a smart enough guy to say, "I can figure it out. You know, I'll relearn the lay of the land and, you know, how to get to the locker room when you walk in the building for $3 million more per year."
I'd probably do it too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
and he was so close to seeing it all slip away last year. He was an Iron Man before that injury last year, and maybe that gave him the realization that, okay, I need to get as much as I can. I need to listen to my agent. It's okay to leave Denver. And on the other hand, maybe it comes down to guarantees. Maybe if the Broncos fully guarantee a four-year, $36 million contract, I mean, that'd be a ton of guarantees, obviously, but maybe that's what doesn't... And I think that's probably the saving grace for him to stay here, is that guaranteed money if the Broncos are willing to pony that up.
Guarantees is all that matters from a player standpoint. So if one team wants to offer you $12 million a year, but they're going to front load the contract with guarantees in the first 2 years, maybe a little in the third year and nothing in the fourth, that's a three-year contract worth $28 million or however much they guaranteed you, because they're just going to cut you when they can. So maybe the Broncos can load up the guarantees and keep him, because he's a guy who you feel comfortable guaranteeing money to. You know who he is, and you know he is essentially an Iron Man who got unlucky with a bad injury last year, but luck is all that injuries really are in the first place. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, there is plenty to talk about from the question standpoint, but we don't even have to break, because I'm going to tell you about our friends over at Get Around. If you're ever in need of a car, truck, or vehicle for a few hours or a few days, Get Around is at your service. Get Around is a car sharing app. You can literally unlock cars near you through their app. It's just like the scooters, but with a real car. Better yet, if you have a car sitting around, make some extra money for your next vacation. Get Around's insurance policy and 24/7 customer service have you covered. Go to get.co/BSN and save $15 on your first rental, or visit get.co/BSN and sign up for free to rent your car out and start making money fast. All right, Zach, well, we don't have 1,000 questions today, but we still have quite a few. Why don't you get us started with what the fans are talking about today?
First one coming in from Mark IT Snatch, Mark It Snatch, something like that. He says, first off, with all of this talk about In-N-Out, Five Guys, and Shake Shack, you live in Colorado and have yet to mention Good Times. What gives?
What gives is you ain't paying attention, my guy.
We talked about it yesterday.
We talked about it yesterday and many times before.
I talked about the guacamole bacon burger, too.
Yeah, I was talking about maybe one of the best fast food burgers I've ever had. This was a blind comment.
And Good Times, is it just Colorado, or is it kind of the Rocky Mountain region born in Colorado?
I think there are maybe some in like Utah, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, man, it's good. The fries. You've mentioned the sauce, the wild fry sauce.
I said wild fries and wild sauce is the best fries you can get at any fast food joint. Better than McDonald's fries.
I must say, I just found out about the wild sauce when we were down at the Senior Bowl. We didn't have Good Times there, but I didn't know there was such a thing. Of course, I knew about the fries, but never heard of the sauce.
Oh, man. Have you had it since?
No. Bro, I need to.
You need to go.
You need to go get
some wild fries with wild sauce.
I'm sure we'll talk about this soon, if not the next comment. He continues and says, that said, there is speculation of the Broncos moving on from Matt Paradis. With that in mind, what do you think of bringing in Ryan Jensen from Tampa Bay? He's a Colorado native, Fort Morgan High School and CSU Pueblo grad, and his first NFL quarterback was Joe Flacco. The only problem is he is starting year two of a 4-year contract with the Bucs.
Seems like a decently sized problem, wouldn't you say?
Yep, probably.
So the only way you could get Ryan Jensen would be to trade for him, which means not only would you be paying him about what you don't want to pay Matt Paradis, you also would have to give up assets for him. Unfortunately, it's not an option. It'd be great to have another Colorado native on the line and in the building, but he's essentially not an option for another 2 years.
Yeah, that's $10.5 million too. If you're going to pay that money, you pay it to Matt, right?
Exactly.
And I don't know the free agents off the top of my head, but if there's another center out there for $5, $6 million on the open market, in my mind, if you move on from Matt, you're not looking at those guys either. You're saying Connor McGovern is going to be a better value than Matt Paradis. He may not be as good of a player. Maybe Sam Jones can do that, but probably this year it's Connor McGovern. And then you just move on from there. You don't go and sign another semi-big money guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what John's philosophy on this is. He's drafted one good offensive lineman, and his name is Matt Paradis.
Mm.
Maybe that helps him stick around.
Right, yeah, because you want to keep your draft picks around, and certainly John wants to.
Yeah, and maybe you can make the case for Bulls at the end of next year. You can't do it right now.
No. No, you can't do that. Next one coming in from Bad1 88. He says, Bad One Log 23. Hey, Zach and Ryan. No real Bronco talk today. This is my first offseason with BSN, and the coverage is insane. Keep it up. Now, let's talk about your visit to Chicago. I moved to downtown Chicago in September and would love to link up for a meet or cold beverage when you guys are in town. I owe you a plate of nachos because I drafted Lindsay in one of our leagues that I own. Let's make that happen. I would love to link up. Your boy, Bad One.
Let's make it happen. The only problem is Zach will only be in Chicago for a matter of hours because we're flying into Chicago. We're catching a bus. We have about 3 hours in Chicago before we're going to head down. So it's just going to be a quick bite before we head down. But I'll be back for the weekend, so maybe we can figure something out then.
Is it going to be a cold time in Chicago? Probably.
I feel like it's always cold.
February.
Every time I've ever been there. Actually, no, I went there in the summer once. It was amazing.
It would be so fun to go for, what's the music festival?
Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza. It's never going to happen if I'm doing this awesome job.
I went there randomly in the middle of the summer, and I hit up my only friend who I knew that lived there, and he was like, oh, I have a bunch of free concert, a bunch of free tickets to this concert tonight. And it was just like a country concert in a giant parking lot with like all these food carts and all this stuff. It was awesome. I had an amazing time.
I feel like there's always something like that going on in Chicago, because Denver's a real city. It's good sized. Chicago, New York, those are just behemoths.
Yeah, it's crazy. I also ended up in a bar there that still allows smoking. It was not an enjoyable experience.
No, it's so bizarre to think that was just the norm.
I couldn't breathe.
That'll not be on the bucket list this time.
Yeah, no, probably not gonna make it back there. Somehow it got like grandfathered in though, when they changed the laws.
Okay, yeah,
it's been around forever.
I went to, when I was in Chicago, we went to a Blackhawks game, and it was when they were the Blackhawks, the championship Blackhawks. We had these awesome seats. It was a 0-0 game in the first period, in the second period, in the third period. We went to go get another round of cold ones. Right at the first minute of overtime, they scored, game over. We weren't even in our seat. We didn't even see it.
What a rookie move. Why would you go to get...
It was bad. And I think they weren't even selling them then.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually alcohol sales stop at the end.
Like, it was brutal.
End of the second,
I think. Yeah, it was brutal.
Oh, that's rough.
I was in the building that Jordan was, though, so there that was go. Cool.
From Bronco Duck, I've been thinking about defensive line depth. I hope we lock up Shelby Harris long term. We have Gottes, who looked better this year, but what else? I like Wolf and Pecco, but do you see both back? Or will the front office change it up and bring in some free agent vets like Gerald McCoy?
I mean, PFF they put out their rankings of best defensive linemen in the AFC West. And it was Shelby Harris was number one, Chris Jones number two, Domantas Pecco and Derek Wolf, three and four. So that would tell you, just based off last year, you need to keep all three of these guys. Now, Shelby Harris, trending up. Better than anyone else, pretty much. Derek Wolf, I don't know. I don't know if he's trending up. He's trending down. He's
trending
neutral.
Down.
Trending down. And then Domantas Pecco, clearly trending down. Does he have another year? Does he have another one-year, $3.5 million contract? Maybe. If you sign him to a one-year, $3 million contract, could he be completely beat out by every other defensive lineman on the roster? I wouldn't be shocked. So those are the tough decisions to make. The Patriots, they'd probably move on from Domantas and Derek Wolf this year. John Elway's shown that he likes to keep guys and keep that familiarity around.
You get one, Pecco or Wolf?
Wolf.
Really? I'd go Pecco.
Price as well?
I guess you have to pay the guys what they're...
I go Pecco.
Okay.
Because what do you think his price would be?
Small.
Three?
Three, four, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a third of what Derek Wolf's cap is going to be.
Yeah. I also just think Domantas' position doesn't exactly you can be good and old at nose tackle. Right. Really, all you have to do is be big.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to be that athletic. He actually is pretty athletic. He does a good job of, sniffing out screens and stuff like that. I don't think you're going to lose much of that. But he's just very good at being big and sturdy. And that's what he does in there. And he's also an Iron Man. So, love Derek Wolf. Love everything he's done for the Broncos. He is a warrior as well. He's not as durable, but he's a warrior. I think you could probably be fine without him.
How comfortable are you with Adam Gottes being one of your two starting defensive ends?
Comfortable enough.
And the guy we haven't talked about much, Shelby Harris. You're very comfortable with him being a starter, right?
Is he a franchise tag option?
He's a restricted free agent, so much cheaper.
Right. So they'll just throw a second round tender on him.
Exactly.
There you go. All right.
That's exactly what you'll do. So then that makes it easier to move on from Derek Wolfe, too, because you have his replacement, who's trending up, like we said, much cheaper than him. And then there's your defensive line right there. And now you get some rotational guys. Maybe they use another second-round draft pick on a defensive lineman. And you also have some guys that you like.
Yeah, I could totally see the Broncos going and getting. Is it Jeffrey Simmons?
I think so, yep.
That has Broncos written all over it.
Mm.
Torn ACL.
Oh, man, the second round?
Mm.
Or does he fall even further?
I don't know. If he falls far enough, that has Broncos written all over
it. He also had, he's from Mississippi State, right?
Yes.
And he had the off-the-field issue, right? So he wasn't going to be able to participate in the combine, and now he has the ACL tear. That'll be very interesting. I'm all about getting these type of guys if their character checks out enough, which it seems like it will. Seems like he had a terrible incident.
I don't want to be wrong on this, but I thought it was like a fight he got in.
Like, I think so.
Not
with another man.
Not like domestic violence, right, or anything like that. I think he just got in a fight like his freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Or college.
Yeah, and I think the NFL is putting a crack down. I don't know if it's recent. It feels like this is a recent thing where if there's any violent acts that you've had in your past, they're not allowing you to participate in the combine. And these guys, the receiver from CSU,
Preston Williams,
both of them aren't allowed to participate at the combine. Obviously, Jeffrey can't participate now, but they're both allowed to go to the combine and talk with teams. So as long as he checks out, man, that'd be a great flyer.
Are they allowed to talk? I thought they were just allowed to go through the physical process.
Really?
Like,
okay.
Where they could, you know, just
get
take a physical, get weighed,
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's just that.
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that has Broncos written all over. That's like John Elway's MO, is like getting guys who are super talented but end up being cheaper because of X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Bradley Roby, Shane Ray, Jake Butt, Devontae Booker. I mean, there are tons of guys who fit the mold.
I love it. I would love the move.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense in a lot of sense, but it is a swing. You know, like, it didn't work out with Devontae Booker. It didn't work out with Jake Butt. It kind of worked out with Bradley Roby. It didn't work out with Shane Ray. Now, not all of those were because of the incident. And in the end, you probably got a good value because you got a player who didn't belong there. But a bust is a bust. And if you don't pick up the fifth-year option on a first-round pick, they're a bust to me. So Shane Ray ends up being a bust.
And a guy that did work out, I believe Maurice Hurst, I think he was a Michigan lineman last year, was supposed to be a first-round pick, had a neck injury. Which
was a heart condition.
Yeah, it was a heart condition, which is just so bizarre and probably turned a lot of teams off just because they didn't know enough about it and didn't know how it was going to play through since it was a bizarre thing. He was a stud this year for the Raiders. I think they got him in the fifth round or something like that.
Something crazy.
So, I mean, there's recent examples of these things just turning out to be pure gold.
Yeah, and again, the Broncos would be all about it. And that would be a nice little addition for them, if it pans out, you know.
And how about this? What's the window? Super Bowl isn't this year.
Yeah, but that's not how they're operating.
I know.
Which just throws me off every time. Because, like, I'm totally for, like, starting to plan for 3 years from now. And,
yeah,
and a Simmons pick like that makes perfect sense for that. But it doesn't fit with the Von Miller, Chris Harris Jr. window, which I think they're pretty fixated on right now.
And I guess if it's like a Jake Butt where he falls to the fifth and you can get him there, or the fourth, then that's when they realize this is a good value.
Yeah. Real quick, what do you think of the not allowing players to go to the combine if they have violent crime issues?
I think it's a case-by-case thing. I mean, especially if they're not allowed to talk, aren't these the guys that you want to talk to the most? So that to me is very, very silly. I completely understand it if it's a case that's being under review, or if you want to go down the domestic route, anything in that category, not allowed at any of our things. We're not going to celebrate you. But I do think his case, it was a fight. He may have even been in high school or something, senior year of high school or a freshman. That seems like a bummer.
Yeah, I think there's no reason for this to be black and white. So why make it black and white?
Right.
Is it just laziness?
Yeah, and it really just trying to protect the image?
I don't know, because you're going to let that guy play in the league.
Right.
It's not like you're saying you can't play in the league.
Yeah.
If you want to go down that route and put a hard stance and say, if you have this and you're proven guilty, you cannot play in the NFL, I'll be all for it.
Right.
But to just say you can't come to the combine, like, who's making that call and why does it make any sense?
Is it – it can't be to protect them, can it? I was thinking, wouldn't you want to throw him out to the wolves and see how he does with the media? And players, I'm sure, especially at that time, are probably nervous, don't like it. Put him in a situation where he has to get used to these questions.
I don't know. Maybe it was like a reaction to Reuben Foster.
Yeah.
Maybe there was like a lawsuit from that medical personnel person that he got in a fight with, and the lawsuit, like, they had to settle and say, like, okay, we won't let guys like this come anymore.
Is the NFL scared of violence?
No. They aren't. No. Like, they don't give a damn. That's what makes me mad. I'm like, don't pretend like you care. All you're doing is making it harder for these teams to evaluate. It doesn't mean he's not going to play.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm John, I want to talk to him to see if that was a one-time issue.
And you could. You could just bring him in on one of your official visits.
Yeah, you could.
So... it's just weird.
It is.
Just a double. It's like a double standard or whatever you want to call it. It just doesn't add up with the way you act the rest of the time.
No.
All right. Next one here from Mr. Freeze. I'm a big fan of Chipotle, and it's far better than McDonald's. With that being said, for argument's sake, Chipotle is even faster food than McDonald's. Their ingredients are pre-made and put in warming bins and exposed to the air and whatever else is floating around behind the sneeze guard. What? Chipotle is also... runs through. Oh, okay, we're not going to go there. Just because the environment is a little nicer and the ingredients may be better does not make it not fast food. Yes, it does.
Because it's about quality.
Also, you can see them cooking the chicken right in front of you. It's not like they just send it in a bag. And like, that's what they do at McDonald's. It just comes in a bag.
Oh, man. I watched a documentary in class one time about pink slime.
Oh, I don't even want to know.
You know
what it is? No.
Well, it's illegal now, or banned by the FDA now, so you don't have to worry about it. But that's how chicken nuggets were made at McDonald's and places like that. Is it wasn't pieces of chicken,
that's
it was
disgusting.
This pink slime.
That's so disgusting.
And that's why they were like foamy and stuff.
Oh my god, stop. Yeah, no, there's nothing. Chipotle is not fast food. I'm sorry, I'll never buy you. There's no argument you can make that will change my mind.
No, and it doesn't matter. It's still called fast. We're not calling this like slow sit down food. It's fast casual. You know, it's not a restaurant, but it's certainly not McDonald's.
No, not at all.
Here's kind of a basic way to think of it. If all of the restaurants have a drive through, it's probably fast food. Because I know like a few sandwich shops that I don't consider fast food, but a few of them have drive-thrus, but most of them don't. Chipotle's, maybe there's one that does. I don't know of any that have a drive-thru.
No.
But maybe there's one or two, and you could point to that. But in general, they don't.
Yeah, and they're also, like, again, it's about the way you feel after you eat it.
Well, I don't know. Mr. Freeze is saying he feels one way.
But I'm saying, like, even if it, like, you got some, like, digestive stuff going on, all I'm saying is, like, after you eat McDonald's, you feel like you hurt your body.
I agree. You instantly regret it.
Yes. You feel like you just did something bad. Like, maybe not everyone feels this way, but, like when I was in high school, I, like, smoked a cigarette, and I was like, ooh, I feel like I just did something really bad to my body. Like, that doesn't feel good anywhere. That's how I feel about eating McDonald's. I'm like, I eat it and I'm like, why did I do that? That now I feel like I might have just lost a few days or weeks off my life.
Have you ever had their queso?
McDonald's queso?
No. Although, speaking of McDonald's, they have this whole new campaign with bacon. Have they never had bacon before?
I don't know. I did see they were doing like a Big Mac with bacon.
Yeah, and one day, like a month ago, you could get bacon on anything for free. Like you could put it on your ice cream, you could put it on your burger, you could put it on your cheese fries, and it was free.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it was their way to promote it.
Interesting. I haven't had a Big Mac in probably 10 years, but they're amazing. All right,
queso from Chipotle.
Yeah, I've had it.
No.
It's not good.
I've heard the texture is weird.
Well, they've improved it since they first dropped it, because I had it like the first day it was available. And I was like, this sucks. And then Brandon Spano was like, no, it's actually good. You have to try it again. So I tried it again, and I was like, okay, I would order this, but there's so many better quesos out there. Like, Qdoba's queso, I don't even like Qdoba. Qdoba's queso blows Chipotle's out of the water. And then the best one is at Torchy's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their queso's off the charts.
Torchy's is so freaking good.
So good.
And I guess that shows you how or why Chipotle isn't fast food is because their queso, they don't slack on the ingredients because isn't their whole thing, their queso is like real cheese and stuff?
Yeah, and it's all fresh ingredients. They didn't want to break their mold just to have queso, and that's why it's not that good.
Yep.
All right, he goes on to say, bringing back it around to the Broncos, Keenum is like McDonald's and Flacco is like Chipotle. So from now on, I'll be calling him Joe Fast Casual Flacco.
Yeah.
Perfect explanation, except for I don't like Joe Flacco as much as I like Chipotle. But I do feel the same way about Case Keenum as I do about McDonald's.
Man, I like this. So then who's give me like a top 10 quarterback from like 5 to 10.
Cam Newton.
Okay, Cam Newton. He's like a restaurant. What restaurant? Like probably not a chain. Chain's probably like 10 to 15 range.
Okay, so like outside of like the Applebee's realm.
Right. So, you know, your local nice restaurant that you like. And then the top five, those are like steakhouses, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you got the Chipotle window and then you've got the McDonald's window.
What would like, is McDonald's like the worst?
Yeah, McDonald's is the bottom five. Is there worse?
I don't think so.
Like, it tastes good. Also, right. It still tastes good. I'm not gonna hate on McDonald's from a taste standpoint, but like, what restaurant is low quality and doesn't taste good? I feel like that. Oh, In-N-Out Burger.
No. Oh, wow. You're setting that one up.
But no, I think McDonald's is the final tier. We could probably do tiers of just burgers, except it would be a lot more polarizing.
It would be.
All right. Mr. Free said the Meatheads comment was in regards to another commenter who mentioned it. I remember someone talking about something in Chicago. I just don't remember it being called Meatheads.
Okay.
I don't know. He goes on to say the only claim to fame my area has for food is the birthplace of taco pizza. Other than that, we just get hand-me-downs from the rest of the country. Taco pizza sounds good.
So it's a pizza with taco stuff? Or is it a taco with pizza
stuff?
No, it's
definitely a taco-flavored pizza.
Okay. I think I've had that once.
They have like a Mexican pizza at Taco Bell, but it's not actually a pizza. It's just like another way of forming Taco Bell ingredients.
On a tostada or something.
Yeah. All right, from H-Town Bronco. Quick thought. More food talk. I remember last week you guys were talking about Mexican quote-unquote fast food. Well, this upcoming season when Denver travels to Houston, you bet I'll be there, you must check out Taco Cabana. Not sure either one of you have heard of it, but it's big in Texas. It's 1,000 times better than Taco Bell. I almost feel bad that that's what you guys like. I can't be hating too hard, though, because I also love Taco Bell and I lived in Denver, so I sympathize. But being in Houston has opened up a whole new world of Mexican cuisine. You'll never want to go back.
Wow. Taco Cabana's slogan, or maybe not slogan, but how it describes itself, Mexican fast casual restaurant.
Oh, out of the running. Out of the running. Sorry to do that to you. Yeah, I mean, the closer you get to Mexico, the better Mexican food you're going
to
get.
Oh, gosh. Sauces have to be the difference, right?
Maybe. That's also like seasonings and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Meat options, because I'm pretty sure I talk about like your only option is ground beef and chicken.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, there's also the steak.
Do you go for the steak, though? I don't know. I'm just kind of like, can it be?
I think I've had it. I think there used to be like some sort of, the grilled steak burrito. That was pretty solid.
Mmm, man.
But I usually just go with the chicken.
Oh, looks like they may have some tasty alcoholic beverages here.
See, H-Town Bronco, you're cheating the system. We wouldn't, I wouldn't have fact-checked you, but Zach had to.
Oh, it's looking good, though. It looks good.
It just sounds like Santiago's now, or...
Right, exactly.
Viva Burrito.
Right.
Which
yep.
are great.
Yep.
But not fast food. All right, he goes, anyway, some football talk. I'm slowly getting around to the Joe Flacco trade. This is, by the way, the new format of comments. Gotta have a food take, and then we can talk about football. At least he can actually throw the ball downfield and not underthrow it every time. If we had Flacco last year, we would have been 9-7 and snuck into the playoffs. First KC match, we would have won, and Houston and Cleveland. Shoot, maybe even more. And since we don't even really seem to have a choice, it's in Elway we trust until they kick him out. He's still done more in 5 years as a GM than 90% of the other GMs. I got to stop being a spoiled brat about my Broncos.
And here's the thing. Even if you don't like the move, because I totally understand not liking the move, realize how small of an investment it is. $18.5 million is nothing. Broncos could cut him. The Broncos could draft a quarterback. Drew Lock could slide to them. Kyler Murray could fall to them at 10. And they could say, wow, we honestly did not see a scenario where this would happen. And we want to go with the young kid. We're going to move on from Joe Flacco, and it's going to cost us $0. Now, it would cost him a fourth. A fourth round pick is nothing. If you end up getting your quarterback of the future, you're happy moving on from a fourth. This is just ultra protection for them.
I think I would cry tears of joy.
If number one fell?
Yeah. If Murray fell.
Number one in multiple ways.
Yes. In my heart, in the roster, and in terms of quarterbacks in this class.
In terms of players in this class?
Yeah, I would take a number one, no matter what.
Wow. Even if you had, say, a Josh Rosen on your team.
100%. 100%. Wouldn't even think twice about it. And I like Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen is not, he is, in my opinion, he's going to be a good to very good starting quarterback. In my opinion, Kyler Murray is a generational talent.
How about this? You are Cliff Kingsbury. You have the number one pick, just like they do this year. Obviously, you would trade Josh Rosen and draft Kyler. What about the other four quarterbacks taken in the first round last year? Which of those guys would you do the same, and which ones would you not trade and not draft Kyler and keep?
To make this more simple, if I was ranking all the quarterbacks from the last 2 years, I would rank Kyler Murray second.
Baker one?
Yep.
Okay. So you'd have to have, the number one quarterback, number one player taken last year is the only one who would trump Kyler.
In my opinion, yes. And the only reason I'm really leaning Baker, because I actually think Kyler Murray is a better passer of the ball and obviously a better runner, is because Baker just has that thing that cannot be quantified. And he has it in spades. And so you have to value that at some point here. I don't think Darnold has that. I don't think Rosen has that. I don't think Josh Allen has that. I don't think Drew Lock has that. I don't think any. There hasn't been a quarterback that I can remember that I knew coming out of the draft. Oh, when he walks in the building, everyone is going to respect him instantly.
Yeah.
There isn't that guy out there, so I have to put him number one. But other than that, in terms of abilities, I think Kyler's the best.
That shows you. Shows you what you think, man. That's impressive.
Yeah. I think he's the next star. I think he's going to be an out-and-out star. And if anyone wants to put him in a camp where he's competing for the job, he's going to blow them away.
I think he will. Very, very easily, too. He's a guy that's going to be able to have success in training camp and have success his rookie season.
Are you thrown off the scent by the Cardinals, as they would like you to be, with the whole, like, Josh is our guy thing? At all? Did that make you pause and say, oh, okay, they're not going to take Kyler Murray?
Not at all. Because, and I had a few people ask me after that, they said, well, no, I mean, they both said Josh is their guy. Come on. What else are they going to say? Because it doesn't benefit them in any way to get off of Josh Rosen right now. They need to stay on that, and they need to build the value of that number one pick. With Kyler potentially being there, with everyone being on the table. And also, let's say they decide last minute they don't like Kyler. Well, if they've already thrown Josh under the rug, that's a problem. So don't do that.
Yeah, that's the main thing for me, is you want Josh Rosen ferociously preparing right now.
Right.
If you all of a sudden undercut him and say, yeah, we're not sold on Rosen, we're thinking of taking Murray, well, then all of a sudden he has, like, some negative feelings towards the organization. If you come out and you say he's our guy, he's like, okay, I'm safe. You know, maybe he doesn't feel that entirely because Josh Rosen's a really smart guy, but he's saying, I'm good. I'm going to keep preparing as if I'm the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. And if they decide to change their mind, or what if someone comes at them with a ridiculous trade offer? Someone wants Kyler Murray and they want no doubts about it, and they trade up three first-round picks for him.
Yep.
Well, then you just won, and you still have Josh Rosen, and now you have three additional first-round picks to continue building your completely barren roster. If not, then you just take Kyler Murray number one, and you probably never even have to talk to Josh Rosen again.
Nope. You're shipping him out for a second. Some team will easily trade you a second for him, I would imagine.
Or a first.
Yeah.
Some team, there might be a team out there that will trade a first for him.
And you do that draft night.
Yeah. If I were the Broncos, I would strongly consider it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a three-team trade where the Broncos, you know, trade down to 18, get some assets, and then trade 18 to the Cardinals for Josh Rosen.
Until your quarterback situation's completely figured out, why would you not be open to a guy that was a top 10 pick last year?
Yeah. Again, it's always tough because you say, well, John didn't like Josh Rosen last year, and we don't know how much. We did hear some buzz about the Broncos and Rosen, so I don't think he just hated him.
Yeah.
The question is, if you told John Elway last year he could draft Bradley Chubb at 5 and Josh Rosen at 10, would he have done it?
Right.
For next year's first-round pick, that would have been the deal.
Right. It's enticing.
I think you would have done it.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, anyways, let's get to the rest of these questions on the other side of me going to break. What's up, guys? Ryan Konigsberg here, and I got to tell you about the Blake Street Tavern. It's my favorite sports bar in town, as evidenced by the fact that we had our fantasy draft there. It's where I watched Super Bowl 48. It's where I watched CU win a Pac-12 basketball championship back in the day. It's the place to be for any sporting event. It's the biggest bar in town. I always joke you could land a 747 in there. It was named the National Sports Bar of the Year in 2017 by Nightclub and Bar Magazine. It wins Best Sports Bar in Denver seemingly every year from Westward. Anyone else that's voting, it's the place to be. They've got great specials, and the food is out of this world. I recommend the nachos, the green chili fries, the buffalo chicken wrap. You name it, they've got it. And the location is perfect, just 2 blocks north of Coors Field, and they have parking. So go check out the Blake Street Tavern. Final segment here on the BSN Broncos podcast. Ryan Konigsberg and Zach Stevens coming to you. And make sure you use the promo code Broncos to subscribe to BSN Denver. We're going to hook you up with a one-year subscription for just $29.99 when you use that promo code Broncos, which is an insane deal based on the amount of content you're getting and, you know, the retribution that you're paying us for all the times you listen to this podcast for free. But on top of that, when we beat out all these other teams that we're competing with in terms of the Avs, Rockies, and Nuggets, and our colleagues, when you guys get us more promo codes than they get, which we currently have the lead, you are going to get a free shirt, a free t-shirt from bsndenverlocker.com for subscribing using that promo code, and the shirts are sweet. I'm wearing one as we speak. So make sure you go and subscribe. Don't miss out on this opportunity to help us and help yourself and get some great coverage in the process.
I'm wearing one of the shirts now as well. And here's the thing, Ryan. There's kind of a buzz that there's going to be some big time, maybe not big time news, but a lot of news coming down the pipe with the Broncos. Starting next week when we're at the Combine, we're going to be there. We're going to be finding out all this stuff. So I understand if you've been waiting, you're like, it's February. Broncos stuff really isn't happening. Well, last week's stuff happened. Next week's stuff is going to happen. And then we're at free agency. Then we're at the draft. I mean, now is the time. So I understand if you've been sitting back, but don't waste any more time. Make sure you're locked and loaded for this weekend and everything that's going to follow. Use that code Broncos. Help yourself out and help us out.
Let's do it. All right, let's continue on with the questions here. And this one comes in from TrueChampFan24. He says, hey guys, with all the food talk, I had to chime in. I'm not sure if Denver has Cafe Rio or not, but it's by far the best fast casual food place, way better than Chipotle and Qdoba.
Have you had Cafe Rio, Ryan?
No.
Okay.
Is there one in Denver?
There is. Yeah, there's not many.
I've heard of like the Rio. It's not the same thing.
It's not. No, okay. That's a restaurant. Cafe Rio, there's one on Colorado and like Cherry Creek Drive. It is... The meat choices there are out of this world. I think it's a sweet pork barbacoa. Unreal.
Wow.
Absolutely unreal. But you got to be, you know, Chipotle and Qdoba, very similar. At Cafe Rio, you still go down the line, but their rice is different. Their meat choices are very different. So it's different, and it's juicier. I'll say that. I was expecting a very, you know, just like Chipotle, a clean burrito. No, nothing's clean about this. Flavors are out of this world, though.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Sweet pork barbacoa if you go.
Is there something, is it better than Chipotle?
It's different because I do agree. Chipotle's better than Qdoba. That's easy
also,
to
Illegal
compare.
Pizza deserves a shout out in this competition as well. I like Illegal Pizza too.
I like Illegal Pizza nachos. I love Illegal Pizza nachos. Their queso is out of this world. A burrito though, you can't beat Chipotle's burrito, you know?
Something about the tortilla is like the perfect consistency.
It's true.
The rice is also perfect, yep. And then everything else just kind of falls into place.
It's really those two things that are the biggest difference from you making it at home. The tortilla, you're like, what is this garbage tortilla? And then the rice, why is this rice sticky and not good?
Yeah, like it doesn't have the right consistency.
No.
When I was in college, I actually looked into buying a tortilla steamer. Like they have, because I was like, that's the difference. Yep. You got to be able to press the tortilla.
Could you imagine having, those things are huge.
They're so big.
You'd have to have Mexican 5 nights a week.
I mean, that would be fine with me. I could for sure eat Mexican every meal.
Yeah, I probably could too.
All right, he goes on to say, on the water topic, oh, we're still staying away from the Broncos here. I drink only bottled water because I grew up in Montana. Wait a minute, someone yesterday was saying Montana
That's
water is great.
Best water.
He says the tap water is fairly toxic to one's health. Zach, seems like you would enjoy this little research project. Zach, look up the Berkeley Pit in good old Butte, Montana. That's pronounced...
Ah,
like that
nice.
Car sure is a Butte. Yeah,
you got it.
I got you. Is that a restaurant, the Berkeley Pit? It's gotta be.
I thought it had to be like a research topic about the drinking water.
No, you're just like always like typing in the restaurant.
Okay, I'll pull
about.
It up. We'll
but
see.
I'll let you go after that. He also says, also random thought, and this hurts to say out loud. As a Utah Jazz fan, I'll allow the Broncos to take Jazz DM Dennis Lindsay from Utah, the guy who turned Eric Green into cash and Rudy Gobert. Thanks, Nuggets. And Trey Lyles into Donovan Mitchell. Thanks, Nuggets. Sorry for the long-winded post. Love this group. Y'all bring the heat.
Yeah, not exact. Well, speaking of bringing the heat, maybe I'm looking up the wrong Berkeley Pit, but it's a former open pit copper mine located in Butte, Montana. It's 1 mile long by a half mile with an approximate depth of 1,700 feet.
Why is this relevant?
I have no
Maybe
idea.
It made copper get into the water.
Maybe. And apparently some people like the taste of copper in their water because you're right. Just yesterday, someone said Montana's the best tap water.
Maybe there's a restaurant named after that pit. It's a play on words because it's like a barbecue place.
Right. That would make sense. Not seeing anything
All
come
right, well.
Up.
Congrats on the research project, Zach. From Warmack14. Hey, guys. For several weeks now, I've been thinking about the deep threat option Denver needs. I almost read that as deep throat. What about Flacco's former teammate, John Brown? Is he a number one receiver? No, but I followed him for several years, including his time in Arizona. He ran a 4-3-4 and runs solid routes. I would love him to have him here. Yeah, that would be a decent option. There's just one really unfortunate problem. John Brown has a sickle cell trait. So he can't play at altitude, or it's dangerous for him to play at altitude. If you remember going back to the Broncos-Steelers playoff days, Ryan Clark couldn't play in Denver because he has that trait. It's happened a couple other times with a couple other players. Happens with the college teams too sometimes. So really unfortunate thing, but it does rule John Brown out for the Broncos.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Good job remembering that, Ryan. And he would very much fit the profile, though, of kind of a one-trick pony.
He's a guy you want to look at and say, okay, can we get a guy like this for Joe Flacco that, right. you know, can just run a deep route and get open?
Right.
He finishes off by, keep up the good work, a Bronco from Texas.
Warmack chimes in on that and says, also, we made it to Denver for the home opener against the Chargers in 2017. Denver Biscuit Company is outstanding, as well as Doghouse. A must try, and funny enough, I mean, I haven't talked about Denver Biscuit Company in a long time, and I found out last night that I'll be going there in a few weeks. So,
oh wow,
I'll be able to give the report.
You have a brunch planned a few weeks in advance?
Yeah, it never happened to me either. So it's meant to be.
Wow, I don't even know what I'm gonna have for lunch today. I do need to try it though. I've heard it's great. All right, from 49th State Bronco. Hi, guys. First off, Alaska water is definitely coming, but it will be a bit delayed because I'm traveling out of state for about a week and a half. Top priority when I get home.
Well, you got to let us know where you're traveling to and how that tap water is.
Yeah, and also what local food joints are there that are good. He says, most of the talk with respect to the early draft picks and free agency has been about quarterback and defense. But we've been trying to fix the O-line for a couple of years now without much success. Yes, the QB situation is frustrating, but I think the swings and misses on O-line are equal or more frustrating. What do you think Munchak's biggest challenge is, and how much do you think he can realistically squeeze out of what we already have?
I mean, it's a good question. Isn't the biggest challenge for Mike Garrett Bowles?
Yeah, he's got to make Garrett Bowles look like a first-round pick.
Yeah, exactly. Now, realistic to say he has to make him look like a franchise left tackle for 15 years? No, because he was picked 20th overall. He needs to make him look like that.
He needs to make him look like the Broncos want to pick up the fifth-year option.
Oh, at least. Oh, man. We can't be talking about another one where it's borderline or no.
So, wait, it was Shane Ray. Who's the next one?
So, Bradley Roby was the year before Shane Ray?
But they did
pick
up that fifth.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was the year. It might have been two.
Shane Ray. Was it Paxton?
Yes. Shane Ray, then Paxton. So Paxton is off.
Didn't even make it to year three.
Didn't even make it to year three. Then Garrett.
Yeah.
You cannot go three in a row.
That would be bad.
Yeah, real bad. Bradley Chubb, we're thinking that that's going to be a hit.
Top five pick. Gosh. Yeah.
That's probably going to be a fifth year option pickup.
Yeah, I would think so, man. Garrett needs to save John here.
He does.
Or John will just save himself. Even if he's trash, he'll pick it up.
It's very true. Yeah, I think that's his biggest challenge is making Garrett look legit. And it also might be turning Connor McGovern into a passable center.
And it also may be turning Billy Turner into whatever position he actually is. Who knows if he's a true guard or if he's a true tackle.
Yeah, maybe he becomes a good right tackle for the Broncos.
Oh, gosh, maybe. I mean, this may be more difficult of a job than being the head coach for Mike here.
Seriously. He's got a lot of work ahead of him.
And then,
if he can pull it off, he deserves a big-time raise.
Right now, what's your projected starting line? You can use free agents. You can use draft. What you project.
Didn't we do this recently?
I don't know.
I'll project.
The food's gotten in the way.
Garrett Bowles is at left tackle.
Yep.
Connor McGovern at center.
Yep.
I'm going to say, which guard position was Billy Turner playing? Was he playing right guard?
I think so.
I'll put Billy Turner at right guard, Ron Leary at left guard, and, man, could be anyone at right tackle. I don't have a guess there. I don't think it'll be Jared Veldheer.
You don't think so? I hope it's not. In this scenario, I'm putting him there.
I think it's going to be a draft pick. I think they draft right tackle in the first three rounds, and he starts.
Can a third rounder start?
You hope. That's your hope when you draft a third. You should get a – you need a starter in the first round. You should get a starter in the second round. You hope to get a starter in the third round.
Yep, exactly. And the rest is just the topping.
Yeah, and everything else is, you know, you hope to get depth,
yep,
really, for 4 years.
Yep.
All right, moving on here from Upstate Garbage Plate. He says, hey, Zach and Ryan. First, I want to say that this podcast has combined my two favorite topics together, food and the Broncos, making it the greatest podcast of all time. You guys are now officially goats. Congratulations.
Probably sound like a goat.
Goat cheese.
No. Yeah, you a fan of goat cheese?
I love goat cheese.
I like goat cheese, too. It's pretty acquired taste.
It is acquired.
Do you like put it on a fancy cracker? Then put some raspberry preserve on with a jalapeno on top.
That sounds incredible. I'm thinking, like, I'll just put it on a burger.
Ooh,
put it on anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I might go get some goat cheese, just eat it with a spoon for lunch.
Man, and you can. Soft enough.
Yeah.
You can do anything with it.
We should do, like, a special edition podcast from Taste of the Broncos this year.
Oh, man, that'd be dangerous.
I know.
I'd
we should down. Ask them if we can broadcast from there, get a little booth. Oh,
man, let's do it.
All right, I'm down.
And isn't it the best food?
Taste of the Broncos basically takes, like, the 50 best restaurants in Denver/Colorado and brings them in to bring their signature dish.
Oh.
For fans, if you got some... if you got a little, you know, jingle in your pocket, it's worth it. I think it's like $150.
Okay.
Like $300 for VIP, but you don't need that. Like pay the $100 plus.
Yeah.
Get an amazing meal. But the coolest part of it, and the reason why you pay the extra if you're a fan, you really get a chance to interact with the players. So you could sit there and have a, you know, 5-minute conversation with Will Parks or Justin Simmons. Like, it's really, it's got to be the most accessible time.
Yeah.
The players are. They're just, they're walking in the same area as you. You're getting the same food. You're sitting in the same line. It's worth it. And the food is out of this world.
I'm in. Count me in.
All right. So he goes on to say, dabbling into true crime with this mountain lion, bringing a third favorite topic of mine. You guys just check all the boxes. On to Broncos talk. You guys said that you thought Sanders was a part of the plan when Flacco was traded for. How much of a cap hit would it be if somehow we landed AB and kept Sanders on? I know it's a pipe dream, but that would be so exciting and would fit with Scangarello's plan of every play can go to the house. That's for sure. If you guys make it out to Western New York for the Bills game, I'd love to treat you to a garbage plate. Go Broncos. Do the Broncos play the Bills again next year?
I think so. I think it's a cold road trip this year.
Man, that's a long trip for me. I did it the last time. Mm. There's no direct flights from Denver to Buffalo. So I flew in. That was actually the craziest road trip I've ever done. I went to the CU Washington game, which was an 8 p.m. start. Made it to my flight, which is at 12:30. Landed in Philadelphia at like 7 a.m. Then flew to Buffalo. Made it there by like 11:30 a.m. Kickoff was at 1. It was rough.
That was also the when Kneeling came back, right?
Yep, that was a big.
So the game
that was right after Donald Trump made the comments that had everyone in the NFL kneeling.
And on top of that, that was Von Miller pulling the hand back from Tyrod.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end for Vance Joseph. It was his first loss, including preseason.
Wow.
That was one of the dumbest flags I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was that. And wasn't it hot as can be?
Yeah, that was what I was also saying. It's the hottest game I've ever been to. And I got dropped That's off crazy. By my Uber. Like he was just like, didn't speak English and didn't want to drive all the way up to the stadium. So he dropped me like 3 blocks away from the stadium. And the media entrance was on the opposite side of the stadium. By the time I got in there, I was literally drenched in sweat.
Oh my gosh. And that's about as, that's probably the furthest stadium from Denver.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Unless you can, well, maybe not even. I was going to say maybe Hawaii, but.
No, I don't
really
know.
Yeah. First of all, and they might not be as far.
Man, would you rather go to Buffalo in the blazing heat like that?
Blazing heat,
or in the freezing?
Blazing heat, blazing heat, blazing heat, blazing heat. Not even close. I'll take hot over cold any day of the week.
You'll probably get a December 28th game or something.
Yeah, probably.
Oh man, those shouldn't be allowed.
Why don't they just do it like week 2? Be great. I need all. There's a lot of cold weather games next year. It really sucks.
I'm
talking like Minnesota, I think, is on the list.
Yep. It's like all of those
Cincinnati
teams.
I think, again.
Chicago or
yeah,
someone else in that division, which is either Chicago, Detroit, or Green Bay. Oh,
it's not Green Bay, I don't think. Actually, maybe it is. I might have been. I don't know. We have to look.
That may be the hardest stadium to get to. Where do you fly into?
I don't know. Does Green Bay not have an airport?
Probably, but you definitely have to take a... There's no direct flights to Green Bay.
Let's look at this. I want to see.
Puddle jumper?
Yeah. All right, so they go... Here's the away games. Kansas City, obviously. Los Angeles, obviously. Oakland, obviously. Well, somewhere. Indianapolis. Nope, sorry, that's at home. Houston. That's
okay,
a good one.
There you go. You'll probably get that like August... First,
yes. Houston, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Buffalo.
Yeah, those are brutal.
Is that enough? That's the 3 plus 5. Yep.
Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Ice bowl.
I thought you were gonna say ice baby. That one, I'm excited for that one because that one at least has like a historic element to
it. There's so much to it.
Yeah, Minnesota should be cool too. That's a nice new stadium.
Yeah, really cool.
It's gonna be freezing,
man. It looks.
Let's hope they just go week 1 through 4 at Green Bay, at Buffalo, and at Minnesota.
And then what? Get all the Denver games away right then in the middle eight games, and then you go to Houston in December?
Perfect.
There you go.
And, yeah, Kansas City is also one I do not want to be in the winter.
No.
It's just, like, in the plains, and it's windy and cold.
And you're in the – you're with the plains.
Yes.
In the press box.
The flying planes up there in space where it's even colder.
And so to the question, I guess. It would cost an arm and a leg to have Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders on the same team. Antonio Brown, cap hit of over $22 million. Now,
worth it.
I know the dead cap stays with the Steelers if they trade him. But does the cap hit still carry over? I'm not exactly sure how that works.
I believe there's some relief on the cap hit, but it's going to be a lot.
Is it just in that first year where there's relief?
I think so, yep.
Okay, so $23 million minus whatever that is, but it's still going to be substantial. And Emmanuel is $13 million cap hit.
They don't like each other, so you're not keeping them both. End of story.
And here's the thing. You save over $10 million if you just cut Emmanuel.
I mean, you know that Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at each other? That's those two. And it's
really
not a good
is.
Thing.
No.
You couldn't have both of them. It's just not possible. The thing is, and someone's to say, well, if you can only have one, I want Emmanuel. No, you don't. I mean, maybe you do, but I don't.
No.
I'm taking the much better player who's also a bigger diva, but I think the skill to diva ratio is exactly the same for both of them.
Mm.
So if Emmanuel's a 7 on the skill and 7 on the diva scale.
Right.
AB's just a 10 on the skill and a 10 on the diva scale, which is fine with me.
So it's really not a bigger headache.
I don't think so.
I should no, because it's a bigger headache. It's not a bigger problem.
It's a bigger headache on Monday through Saturday and a much better payoff on Sunday.
Who would you rather want? Emmanuel for $13 million with the injury and everything, or AB for $23
million? AB. It's a no-brainer for me. He's much better.
And then is your wide receiver group set? You're good?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You feeling good about it?
You give me AB and Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, and I'm happy.
Man,
you're a Cortland Sutton breakout season away from having the best receiver 1-2 punch in the league.
With that, do you think it would be hard for Joe Flacco to make Antonio Brown unhappy, because it's not like there's another huge name in that group? Wouldn't you just be thrown into him all the time?
Yeah, Antonio Brown would be very happy. He would be well fed.
Because
I should call him Mr. Big Chest. That's what he wants to be called now.
Tell me about this. I saw it and was like, what?
I don't know. He was just doing an IG live of him like working out. And he was just like on his chest. And he's like, I'm not Antonio Brown anymore. My name is Mr. Big Chest now.
Oh, my gosh. And didn't he also put out on Twitter that if a team has guaranteed money that they should trade for him? Or if they want to guarantee him the money, trade for him?
Something like that.
If you're a smart general manager or owner and you want him, give him a call and just refer to him as Mr. Big Chest. He's someone that would eat that up.
Hello, Mr. Big Chest. I'm interested in writing you a big check.
There you go. That's all you need to do. Fulfill the ego and fulfill the bank account.
Here's what Antonio Brown doesn't understand. His contract is still active.
And he's going to get paid.
And he's going to get paid a lot of money, but he also, like, I want someone to explain to him that you can't, I mean, I guess you could renegotiate a new deal. Can you even? I think, aren't there 3 years left on his deal? Don't you have to be with 2 years or less to start renegotiating?
I don't know.
I think you do.
This is 3 years left. His base salary is 12.5 this year. I mean, his yearly cash, he probably wants the cash. Yearly cash, $15 million, only 15. Next year, 11, and the year after that, 12.
I think you could so he's 4 more years on his deal?
Three.
Three, okay. Yeah, I don't think you can even renegotiate until the end of this year.
Man, that's... No, we're talking about how some teams don't have just tons of cash sitting around. Broncos may be one of those. This deal doesn't require a lot of cash, Ryan.
God, wouldn't you wish you were a fly on the wall in that meeting with Art Rooney today?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they took a picture smiling at the end, and then and Antonio Brown broke the news that they're still going with a trade. Like, that was weird. But, like, what was the conversation like? I'm also pretty sure Antonio Brown's a bit off the rails right now.
You think?
Some way or another. So, like, was it a logical conversation? What happened?
Oh, man. Just looking at how he's been the last few weeks, I don't think you can say his name and logical in the same sentence, can
like,
you?
Do you think there was, like, a heart-to-heart in which Antonio Brown ended, like, I really appreciate you, Mr. Rooney, but I believe it is in my best interests to be traded to a new team and start with a fresh slate?
He's got a script he's going off.
Or was it like, I don't want to play there. 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 I don't care what you say. I don't want to play there.
Yeah, he hashtagged two very random things. Call God and hashtag booming.
Hashtag booming. That's his thing. Business is booming.
Oh. Yeah, apparently he thinks it's really going to be booming with a lot more guaranteed money.
He's going to be really disappointed when John Elway has to tell him that he can't increase his guarantees until next year.
I love this camera angle on the TV on ESPN here. We got an under-the-chin shot of this reporter joining them.
It is pretty crazy that these ESPN guys can now just go in from their iPhones.
Yeah.
But I feel
it's
like
also crazy they don't tell him to like hold the phone straight toward his face.
Maybe give him like a tripod instead of just like doing a selfie. kind of rough. Anyways, I would take Antonio Brown all day.
Yeah. He's electric.
I need juice. I need some juice. And Joe Flacco to Antonio Brown would work. And that opens up so much for Philip Lindsay.
Man, those two guys.
Yeah, and then you have Courtland Sutton, too. I mean, we saw what Courtland Sutton can be in training camp. Did you see an analyst did a thread on Twitter? They showed how many times Case Keenum's ball placement was off when throwing to Courtland Sutton.
No.
It was embarrassing.
It was off.
I mean, Courtland Sutton made some bad plays. He dropped some balls.
Yep.
But Case Keenum, essentially, every time Case Keenum gave him a chance to make a play down the field, he made it.
Wow. I promise you guys, Case was not doing that in training camp.
Case was on the money every single day.
Yes, like, especially with the deep balls.
Perfect back shoulder deep balls. Perfect, you know, just give him a chance to jump over Bradley Roby.
He was what they wanted, or what they want Joe Flacco to be this year. What they truly believe Joe Flacco can be.
What if Joe Flacco is like 10 times that good in training camp? Or is he going to be worse and we're going to be worried and then he's going to be good on Sundays?
Probably that.
It's going to be hard to be better. I think Case Keenum was completing like 85% of his passes in training camp.
Zero interceptions through the first, there's 15 training camp practices. He probably had zero picks through the first 9 practices or something.
Insane.
It's insane. Ryan, we have 2 bonus questions that just came in.
Oh, good, good.
One from NBot says, first-time commenter, long-time listener. Well, I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, it's often the BSN cast. Thank you so much. I've been listening here and there for over a year and finally paid up to support the effort. Love your guys' takes on things besides football as well. Very entertaining show. Keep up the good work. P.S. That intro song you've got now is hilarious.
Love it. All credit to our guy, Timothy, from Pleasure Horse.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
All right, and then I think we got an actual question here from Carpaccio Chris. He says, first off, Ryan, I'm with you. That Fort Collins fella is a fraud. If I saw a mountain lion, I would have pooed my pants. That's pretty good.
Good.
Let the truth be known. Second, regarding the BSN food talk, I much prefer In-N-Out to Five Guys, though I'm a fan of both. I always get a 4x4 with spread, lettuce, and tomato in In-N-Out. Basic, but it's the best way to have it, in my opinion. 4 patties.
Yeah. How does that work?
4.
So is that are they separated by cheese? Oh, and some sauce?
I think it's just cheese.
Okay.
4 patties?
That's a lot.
I'm too thick, right?
I just don't know how do you get your mouth around
that?
Right,
that's the problem. I've never even had a 3 patty burger.
I wouldn't want to like have to smash the bun down so much that it's like, you know, I might as well just dip it in water in order to eat it.
All the grease. Oh man. All right. He goes, one advantage I give to Five Guys would be their Cajun fries. Hell yeah. Well, the LA Times, by the way, rated In-N-Out the worst fast food fries in the world.
Yeah, they obviously haven't got them lightly well done.
Get out of here. Finally, he says, do you see the recent Twitter jabs between Emmanuel and AB as a potential deterrent in acquiring AB? I realize Emmanuel didn't necessarily have a say in the matter, but I think as a GM, you want to keep the locker room. Me personally, I don't think I think they'd easily hash things out. Here's the thing that people are just not understanding. If the Broncos were getting AB, they couldn't afford Emmanuel, nor would they want to keep him. Nor is like Emmanuel this locker room glue or something.
Yeah.
In fact, he's just, I would call him, at risk of using a word that gets used in the wrong context in a different situation a lot, I would call him a lone wolf.
Yeah.
He's just in there on his own.
I was going to say, all it takes is one trip into the locker room to see that.
Yeah. Looking at his phone, looking at his film, whatever it is, just in his own little area.
DT was his guy. Like, they were boys.
Yep.
It's not like he's picked Cortland Sutton up and now they're guys. No, Cortland's guys with his class.
Right. And the people around his locker, you know, the special teams guys are over there. McManus and Kreider. Who else is over there?
Booker, running backs. Yep.
But yeah, it's not. Emmanuel is not this like irreplaceable locker room legend.
No.
Nothing about Emmanuel is a deterrent to AB.
Unless
the Broncos believe that it's just easier to keep Emmanuel than to pursue AB from a salary cap standpoint.
I don't think anyone, if the Broncos trade for AB and move on from Emmanuel, which would happen if they traded for him, I don't think anyone in week 1, week 8, week 16 would be saying, would be thinking about Emmanuel in any way, in a leadership way, in an on-the-field way, in an off-the-field way, in any scenario. I don't think they would, because AB may be bad in terms of a teammate. He may cause a lot of drama, but no media member is going to say, man, if only they kept Emmanuel, things would be better. Man, only if it was Emmanuel, not AB. It wouldn't be like that.
Yeah, the only way someone would say that is like he didn't give his all on Sunday, because that's right. One thing I'll give Emmanuel to the end. He goes all out on Sunday.
Yep.
And from what I've seen, so does Antonio Brown, except for that one game that he just skipped.
Yeah, when he gets on the field.
All right, well, I think that's going to wrap things up for us today. Make sure you crush that promo code Broncos. Thanks to all the people who did it yesterday and everyone who's done it so far. Of course, thanks to all the BSN Denver subscribers. Promo code Broncos, $29.99 for a year. You won't regret it. And before I let you guys go, I want to tell you about our friends over at Total Beverage. What if I told you that you could have, you could order your liquor on a mobile app and have it delivered to you that same day and save money while you're doing it? Well, that's exactly what I'm telling you about Total Beverage. Total Beverage delivers to most of the metro area from Wheat Ridge to Erie, and they have the lowest prices in the state. Plus, they're locally owned and operated. So you're going to help out the local guy, and we already know you love the local guy because you just logged on to crush that Broncos promo code. For a limited time, Total Beverage offering $10 off your purchase of $50 or more on their website and their app. Use promo code BSN10 to save $10 off your order of $50 or more for all your parties and have it delivered straight to your door. Check out Total Beverage on their app and on their website, totalbev.com. We'll catch up with you guys tomorrow. It's getting